Gosh, John, I forget how good you are at karate. That's incredible.
I know, man. I mean, it's all about the right belt.
It is. Timing, you know? Or your leather belt.
Exactly.
I feel like maybe, is that not, that's what you meant?
Not really, okay. But speaking of, Dave, wow, I'm just going to try to transition to save you. Finally, Dave.
Yeah.
Warm spring days are arriving.
Oh,
am I right?
Isn't it great? You know what? I need a new pair of shades that I don't have to baby. Do you know what I'm saying, John? I don't want to take care of them. Let me put them on, take them off, and not have to worry about
them. Hey, Dave, I know exactly
what you mean. Sorry, I didn't mean to rant.
Knock around is the solution. They've been making high-quality shades that don't break the bank since 2005.
Oh, wow.
And they've actually been my personal go-tos for years.
Oh, yeah. I love Knock Around, John. They have over 20 different frame styles, so there's something for everyone, including tons of kids' pairs.
That's right. So whether you're looking to rep your favorite sports teams, you know, like you're a sports guy, spend some relaxation time in the yard, or cruise down Broadway with the windows down like Dave does all the time.
All the time.
Every Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. Knock Around, that's what you need.
Yeah. All of their lenses have UV 400 protection, which is basically like sunscreen for your eyes, which, by the way, I've tried that and it hurts. Use the sunglasses, everybody. With polarized adult pairs starting at $28, you can get a few pairs to leave in your car, toss in your beach bag, or lend to a friend in need.
Dave, that is such a good price that I might buy a pair just to intentionally lose them.
I don't love that logic, John, but
I know,
you do have a history of misplacement. It's Knock Around.
Don't fight me because of the karate stuff.
But it could be perfect for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, Dadville fans, don't squint through family beach days or trips to the park. Check out knockaround.com and use the promo code DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order.
That's DADVILLE15 for 15% off your order at knockaround.com.
Check, check, check. Here we go.
We need the air.
We're recording. Yeah, I'm gonna turn the AC off, but I just wanted to get a little bit of it so that people knew what we're sacrificing for.
What we're giving. We give up a lot for this podcast, guys.
Yeah, we do.
And you're about to hear it.
And I'm wearing a full sweatsuit.
You literally look like you just came from the Arctic tundra. From a jog in the Arctic tundra.
I look like I came from like a CrossFit in Antarctica.
You always do. You tend to go pants as much as you can.
I know.
Which is
well, the pandemic has got me really excited.
Could I say pandemic?
Pandemic.
Seal it up.
Just high five. It's got me excited about sweatpants.
Yeah.
Last time I wore sweatpants, I feel like it was in second grade. And somebody told me, I remember this as plain as day. I was walking in from the bus to the school, and somebody mentioned that I had worn that yesterday.
Oh.
And that was, I was like, just because I was wearing a sweatsuit at the time, I was like, I'm never repeating an outfit, and I'm never wearing sweats again. It took a global pandemic to get me to come back to the well.
Okay, because we kind of address this here in a minute, because one of the questions, but can I just say, both you and I, we are creatures of habit. Clothing wise, so it's funny to hear because I mean you have two or three outfits I know really well. I have
that's generous.
The same.
Same.
But isn't it funny that you no because you have like longer you have pant versions of the shorts. You know what I mean? Like you just have the same.
Yeah.
But like I'm the same. I'm exactly.
Yeah.
The same. I have two. I was literally looking today at a ad I got for a clothing store. I like that sounded really regal.
It did.
Clothing store. And
was it Barney's?
Yes.
Is that what you don't want to say?
It was Selfridges.
It was hand delivered.
And they're running a sale right now, and I may buy a third of the same shirt because it's $15.
This is our first dad tip, and this doesn't have to go to dads. This can go to anyone, but it took me 30-some years to learn this. But when I find a shirt, especially that fits or anything, just buy five of them you can.
Yeah. I mean,
that same goes for cars.
If you guys have...
If you're able, budget dependent.
There's probably like one person listening that's like, no, that's exactly what I do. Steve Jobs, do you know that thing about him? He had a famous sort of, he had that famous outfit, and somebody sitting at, and you know, asked like, why do you wear the same outfit every day? He's like, if you calculate the time that I save by just wearing the same outfit every morning, I save like a month worth of time.
Wow.
Of not standing in the
closet.
How
much time was he spending?
I know. That's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, that's another topic.
So do celebrate your warm-ups.
Yep.
You have great legs, though.
Thank you.
I don't like when you cover them up all the time. So this episode of Dadville is really fun. So John and I love having interview friends on. Interview friends?
We have friends, and then you have interview
friends.
That's
kind of true.
You guys know what I mean.
It is. That's exactly true. But this episode, we were really excited about doing a Q&A. We actually hadn't done a Q&A yet. I mean, for all the interviews we've done, all the episodes that you and I have done, just the two of us, we haven't had a legitimate question and answer episode. And so we took to the social medias yesterday.
Well, you took to the social medias. I planned to take to the social medias, and I realized I only took to one social media.
You took to social media.
I just did.
Social media. Yeah. Okay. And we asked you guys, which, I mean, that's a little poor planning. Let's be honest. I mean, the day before, it's not welcome to Dadville, folks.
It's not Momville.
It's not Momville.
You would have got that tweet on Monday.
Yeah, an email reminder.
Yeah.
But you guys really showed up and showed out here. There's some really, really, really good questions. And so we're going to kind of cruise through these. Some we'll spend a little more time on that take time to tickle. And then some, you just, you know, it's just, you know, they're quick answers. So, Johnny, you want to kick us off?
Here we go. From Mason M. Cool. Wait. Or is that Mason McCool? I don't know. Sorry if I'm butchering any names.
That goes from either like a really amazing comic book character or a real person. Mason McCool is a real person.
McCool.
Mason M. Cool. Yeah. Kid spy.
Yeah, he's got his own show if it's M. Cool.
Yeah, Nicholas.
Okay. It'd be really cool to hear you guys talk about your Enneagram types and how that influences the way you dad. I'm a 4.
I didn't want to bust the bubble on this, but when you mentioned walking into the school and that guy called you out, that had been, as a little 4 kid, that had been a dent. That had been a big moment.
Oh, yeah. I've got a couple of those that I really remember. Yeah. And a lot of them happened in second grade. We'll get back to that. I've never thought about how it affects my dadding, but I'm a 4. For those who aren't familiar with Enneagram, just roughly, like, the 4 is like the artist or like the... What's
romantic.
Another name? The romantic, but yeah. We're prone to being emotional and like really
feel
diving
deeply.
In.
Feel really, really deeply. Yeah. Kind of have like the biggest antenna of the numbers. Like you're really, you feel, you take in at a very.
I mean, my first thought is I'm probably, if I'm feeling down or something like that, I can't get out of it. So it's like, I'm not the dad, which our friend Barrett is the king of the opposite of this. If he's having like a down day, when he gets with his kids, he can shut that whole thing off and just be with his kids. For me, if I just got an email that bums me out or whatever it is, I cannot shake that. But I think the opposite side of the coin is like when I'm feeling great, it's like, you know, banana splits all around.
Yeah.
What about you?
God, now I'm thinking about banana splits. Yeah. I'm also thinking about splits.
Yeah.
And then someone being like, this is a banana
and handing
split.
You a banana split.
Handing me a banana. It's a banana split. You know the other thing that they say that you guys, the 4s, give to their kids, which I think is really profound, is the ability to sit in pain with them. Mm. You know, when you think about Stephen James's podcast that we did earlier, if you guys have listened to that, Stephen talks about just kind of, will you be there? Like, you know, will you be with me?
And if you guys haven't listened to that episode, you should pause this and go back and listen.
I learned a lot. Then,
please come back.
And then unpause.
And rate and review.
No, but I think that's a gift that you guys have that's pretty profound, which is very different than me. But, you know, to really sit and be like, hey, we don't have to get, like, I'm sad with you. This sucks. I mean, kind of your point, I think watch me reframe. That's what we do as sevens. But I do think one of the things really great about y'all is that what sucks is you can sit in your pain, but what's really amazing is you have an ability to sit in an emotion. And that, that cannot serve you, and sometimes, obviously, with any of our things, but it can in moments like that where you're not afraid to go like, hey, it's okay, let's be sad.
Yeah.
Maybe that's not a gift of mine, quote unquote.
I mean, that doesn't come naturally to me because I still have that sort of A, selfishness, and B, just the stereotypical kind of guy thing that I want to fix something.
Oh, yeah.
So if I'm being really honest, I'm totally fine to sit in my own pain, and I'll come back here to my writer's room and wallow in it all day. But if it's someone else's pain that's inconveniencing my day, that's a totally
your
different
pain.
Situation.
If someone else's pain,
and
is
that's all I want to say about that. I don't want you to.
So I am a 7, which, if you don't know anything about the Enneagram, which we're going to do a podcast. We're going to have some friends on to do a podcast on the Enneagram soon. Yeah. But I'm a 7, which is called the Enthusiast or the Epicurist.
I would say if you don't know anything about Enneagram, but you're familiar with Dave Barnes, then you at least know what a 7 is.
Yeah, it's pretty.
Dave Barnes is a 7.
And I think as far as kids, so we're, you know, 7s are like, if you guys know anything about me, it's me. It's, you know, big personality, fun, upbeat, glasses kind of always half full, right? I always get that confused.
Yeah.
Yeah, half full. And so there's a lot of good things about that. Obviously, a lot of bad things. And I think some of John's superpowers are like my like kryptonite. I want to get through hard stuff to get to the good stuff. One of the things that I do think is hard, or I should say influences the way that I parent, is that it is really hard for me to be still and be in the moment. And so I think, you know, for me to, I'm always thinking about the next thing. When you really start doing a deep dive on the Enneagram, there are these different stances as they pertain to time. So these three numbers are the present stance, three numbers are the past stance, and three numbers are the future stance, meaning like that's how you think about time, is like what's coming, what's happening right now, or what's already happened. And you tend to dwell on those three times. Yeah. Mine is future, and it's so obvious with everything in my life. My day is only as good as the next thing I can look forward to.
Yeah.
And in fact, if I'm feeling bad, the quickest way for me to feel better is to go, oh, but I got that thing tonight. Yeah. Oh, but tomorrow I'm going to, and it gets me back in a good mood. So I think it can be, it's good for my kids in some ways because I can be very fun. I think, you know, one of the things I give my kids is like laughter and for moments that get really hard or intense, I can lighten it, which I'm really thankful for. But I think, you know, it's really hard for me to be present if I'm not in a good headspace. I can be off in flights of fancy in my head, or I'm thinking about the next thing. So I'm not sitting with the kids, kind of like we were talking about with you, John.
Yeah.
So, and there's a million other, I think we'll probably talk more about that when we do a podcast someday. And if you guys don't know about the Enneagram, it's really helpful. I mean, be careful with it because it can turn into a little bit of religion, but it is a very, very, very helpful thing.
Great question.
So, yeah, it's a great question.
Mr.
Thanks. McCool. Thanks, M. Cool. So S. Jacob Walker, or maybe Sir Jacob. Sir Jacob Walker.
Sir Jacob Walker.
So Jacob came in with the heat.
Yeah, multiple.
Jacob, you kind of killed the game on this one, man. Okay, so first, your favorite shirt, past and present.
I had a 19, I don't remember the year. I want to say it was 1985 Chicago Bears, like Super Bowl champ. I'm not enough of a football guy to know
whatever
what year
that was. Yeah.
But it was made for me. And it was a real old one. It wasn't like a new one that was made to be old. But I wore that shirt so much to the point where it was literally like see-through,
tatters,
falling apart.
Yeah.
And I just lost it someplace in a hotel. It's tragic.
Was this in your adult life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought I didn't know.
You definitely would have. This was like early, I think Amy and I were married maybe around, but it was around that time when we were like dating, newly married around then.
Okay.
It was, I never looked better.
You sort of opened, I would argue that. But you have your sweatpants. I also can't see your legs. You said kids made me think of, I had a Vision Streetwear shirt that I thought was the coolest thing ever.
Vision Street?
Vision Streetwear, the skate company. You remember that? It was like that iconic like Vision Streetwear. It was like if you skate at all. That was what I loved.
Stayed up on a skateboard.
Yeah.
So
I think now, man, I'm just kind of, there's this company called Soul Angeles. So like Los Angeles, but S-O-L.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they make these really, really soft shirts. And I bought a shirt from them probably 5 years ago that I wore to the point that like Annie was like, honey, it's time.
It's over.
We all know.
It's over.
The shirt knows. It wants to go home. But you know what I love is, this is a free ad, but Buck Mason shirts are really great. I'm wearing one right now. They're like cheap, affordable. And those, they come in like plain colors, which I'm a big fan of. How have your dads changed? I mean, so Jacob came in with like a lot of variety, which I appreciate. So t-shirts now are, how have your dads changed as grandfathers versus being fathers?
My dad, I know, has gotten a lot older. I don't know about yours.
Next question.
Next question. What do we have next? man, that's, I think that he is, my dad is the greatest, and he's the greatest granddad. We call him Papa. In a lot of ways, I feel like he's the same as he was as a dad. Like, he's funny with the kids. Like, he's goofy and has that, you know, dry humor that I think the kids kind of appreciate because he doesn't talk kind of baby to them, you know? But I think he's great at being really present, which I'm speaking for him right now, which I shouldn't do, but I feel like maybe he would say, and maybe this is something that is universal with being a parent versus being a grandparent. I feel like when he was a dad, he's so busy and he's working a ton and et cetera. He's providing for the family. And now it's a little bit, life is slower. And when he's with his grandkids, he's so present. It's not like I felt like he wasn't present when I was a kid, because I do feel like he was, but it's cool to see that, you know, from sort of like the outside looking in, seeing how just with my kids he is, you know.
Yeah, I think, you know, they always laugh, and I think this is like every, oh, that's not fair. Most of the grandparents that I know have the joke, like, we told you no your whole life, now we get to spoil the kids.
Yeah.
So we just say yes to the grandkids, we just say yes to them, which is really true. I mean, I know that about, you know, both your and Amy's parents, and I know mine and Annie's mom and dad. So it's kind of sweet. Yeah, because I think that, and you know what's funny is I actually get it. It can be.
I would say to parents, to new parents kind of going through that dynamic, I would just say in general, just
it is what it is.
Let the grandparents do what they want.
Yeah.
You know, they've earned it.
Yeah, of course, there's people listening. They're like, no, you don't know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But I think, too, to your point, it's just such a different season for a man. You know, it's like, you nailed that talking about your dad. Same with mine. Like, you know, they're huffing it for 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Providing. And then they just, you know, retirement or life slows down. Kids are gone, whatever. And they really do slow down. And so I think there's a lot more, like, graciousness, a lot more joy. Like, my dad's just always happy. He's just chronically happy when I see him. With the kids, too. So it is energy because it's like they get access to a different version. Not bad, but just like version 10.0 where we got 1 and 2, which was still amazing, but it's really different.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah. Okay, the last time you changed your kid's diaper, did you realize it would be the last time?
Ugh. Dr. Awesome coming in hot on this one.
I did not realize it would be the last time. I would say the arc of it goes like this in general, if I had to guess for everyone. Let's go in from your last time. Let's go in 50 diapers. That's the one you think is the last time, because you're praying that it's the last time, because you're out of diapers and you're like, if I have to go get another box of diapers, like, this kid should be out of diapers.
Yeah.
You never really know when the last one is.
Well,
I feel like all this, it's just kind of like that. You don't really, the stages just kind of change. And then one day you're like, oh my gosh, do you remember when they used to do this or whatever?
And I'm kind of weird about that. Like, I give myself a lot of grace not to be the guy that's like, I didn't realize that was the last diaper. Because I'm like, I remember sitting there being like, dear God, please, can this be the last diaper? So it is a little, like, I try not to be too, like, rough with, like, Dave, every fold, you should have taken 5 seconds and said a Bible verse every time it attached to the adhesive. You know, you're just like, you are old enough to not be doing this. Stop doing this.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of it's a little bit of a theme. If you take the macro for a second, I think that's true to a lot of things. Like, you know, it's so easy to look back at pictures and think, God, don't you miss those days? But if you could go back and talk to yourself for a minute, you'd be like, I'm so tired of them not being able to walk.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Or whatever the sort of milestone moment is. So I have to be really careful I don't get too nostalgic or too romantic about those seasons and how amazing they were. Because it's like, I bet you, if you could talk to yourself in that season, I'm not sure you'd be like.
Amy and I talk about it all the time in the middle of a season, how we will say, like, you know, we're going to look back on this and
1,000%.
We're not going to remember this moment at all. Which is great. I want it to be that way. I mean, imagine it being the opposite.
Yeah.
Where you forget the good stuff and only remember the struggles. But yeah. What is this? Is this Michelle? 88. How you guys stay friends throughout the years with marriage, kids, touring? How do you guys stay friends throughout the years of marriage? How do we stay friends?
Are we?
Did we say we wanted to do this one, by the way?
Should we skip this?
Are we skipping this?
You know, one thing that I think is really interesting, I can't speak for women, though I've tried to, and that's gotten me in a lot of trouble, in my marriage.
They say I can't speak.
You know, they say, but watch me. But just watch me. I think proximity, the older you get, has a lot to do with maintaining relationships.
Yeah.
And that sounds like either the dumbest thing you ever heard, or it may actually be profound. But I do think, I have just realized that when your life is so sedentary with a family, you've got all these roots that have, that are starting to really grow deep. And you know, like I envision a house, and like, if you can just imagine people, you know, the roots going through the floor of your house to just get stuck in the ground. And that's what you want. You know, you want a sense of home. But I think it's really tough because, and you've got these little kind of anchors and kids, you know, that right. kind of keep you there in a really great way. It's tough. I mean, like, it's really tough on friendships because you have to have so much intentionality. And it's, you know, it's kind of sad to say sometimes that the friendships that take even driving 20, 30 minutes or Lord knows different states, you know, just hard to maintain. And yeah. you really do start to look at sort of the graph. And I'm like, man, if you look at time spent with people, it's all the people that I can see on almost a walk, you know, or right. like a really quick drive.
Yeah.
And so I think that helps. I mean, you and I living across the street is massive.
Right.
Same as y'all, like so many of our friends live within, you know, a square mile of us.
Yeah.
Which just is a huge godsend, you know.
And I think when you have kids, especially young kids, well, maybe not even young kids, but your world just kind of starts to revolve around whatever, wherever they are and whoever their friends are and the yeah. parents of their friends and where they go to school and all that kind of stuff. And you can, maybe you can kind of control that and be like, oh, let's move where our friends are and they'll just go to school there. But it's going to happen wherever they,
yeah, that's
wherever
right.
your kids are, that's going to kind of be your circle.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I do think, lastly, I think intentionality. I mean, if there's a word that I think about the most literally since we've had kids, and really even since, I mean, for always for me, is just how much life requires intentionality if you really want to, you know, whatever your priorities are, those things are always going to take some sense of discipline and intentionality. And I think yeah. friendships are to me near the top of that list once your life really starts getting in a groove. Is like, yeah. I want to spend time with those people. You know, me and my best friend, who's been my best friend for 20 years now, we walk every Sunday night. And it's funny because some Sunday nights, it's just kind of a catch-up fun. And then some, it's a three-hour deep dive on stuff we're working through. But, you know, just something that simple, keeping on the books is such a great thing for
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that is a big deal, you know, with staying friends.
So the short answer to the question is move across the street. If you want to stay friends with someone, just
or into their back house.
Yeah. Share Wi-Fi. You'll be friends.
Oh my God. That's how close you need to be.
Man, this one.
Yeah.
This one is one of the greatest. I wish I would have thought of this question for the podcast, you know, from episode one. It's such a great question.
KK says, coming in, whoever you are out there, KK, this was, we both read this
KK
one.
Says, like,
KK says. We loved it.
Am I reading it?
We shouldn't tell him. We should just enjoy
it's
it.
It's so good.
In privacy.
It, out of respect for how good it
we're
is,
not gonna say
I don't
it.
Think we should say yeah. it.
So it's this. If you could take, and all of you listen to this, think about this question because it's a really great question. If you could take your kids back to a point in your childhood to share with them, what would it be?
I feel like we could do a whole podcast on this.
Yeah.
And for me, the first hour of the podcast would be me just sitting in silence thinking of an answer.
Well, the thing that I find myself is I'm like, I think the thing off the top of my head, which is sadly how I think about everything, but like, I guess the genres, do you want to go like, here was this moment that shaped my life and here you
yeah.
can see it happening. Here is a sad moment that shaped my life. You can see it right. happening and now you know why your dad is so messed up. Or or just kind of like, here is...
Now
like,
you know why your dad wears all black sweats every day.
Sweats, no matter the temperature. You know, or is it, which my temptation is actually just to be like, I wish they could go back to Mississippi and just watch for 5 minutes as me and my siblings played, or just to see where we grew up to have some
yeah.
sense. You know, even that. Yeah. It doesn't
well,
have
I
to
think
be.
What's really interesting is what first comes to your mind. And I know what first came to my mind, and it might not be the answer that I think is most interesting or whatever, but still the fact remains, for some reason, that random thought, that random memory was immediately in my mind. You
what
know
was
what I mean?
It?
Which is, and the specifics of it are not important, but I immediately was like, I want to bring them back to these couple times, like in elementary school, where I got made fun of and picked on, because I want them to see, hey, I got, you know, I got picked on. This is rough. Like that, it, that really hurt my feelings. That was hard. That was a bad day for me. And that was a rough time or whatever. And, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, like, which I think the fact that that was the first thing that came to my mind kind of like speaks to the fact that I am terrified of my kids getting hurt.
Oh yeah.
I want my kids. It goes back to, it reminds me of when we were talking to Stephen James and I was telling him about
the playground.
Luca and the playground and she's not playing with anybody and I can't pay attention to this meeting because I want her to find a friend. And he's like, dude, that's all you. That's coming from your own stuff, you know? So I think it's that same part of me that made me, my knee-jerk reaction go to that memory.
Yeah, that's profound. My first is kind of like yours, is a little more of like a general thought. Like, I just wish they could see this, you know, Kosciuszko, the small town I grew up in, Mississippi, kind of, which is funny because I think it has the same thing as yours, where like half of it is like, and look, you know, you don't have to have some pedigree to end up doing what you do for a living.
Yeah.
And I think especially the meta narrative to me is like, God is going to accomplish his will no matter what.
Uh-huh.
But I think there is this painful part of it too, where I'm like, or fearful part where I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want them to be spoiled.
Totally.
I don't want them to have, to think they got to have all this stuff to be happy. Cause right. I didn't.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's exactly like yours. There is this sort of yin to the yang on like, oh, it looks like, yeah, look, so you can get picked on, be okay. And it's like, actually I'm the same. I'm like, see, grew up in a small, it's like, God's going to do what he's going to do. / like, see, you don't need all this stuff.
Yeah.
Like, don't you start thinking life is about,
yeah.
But that's great. It'd be that would be an interesting podcast as we think about the future, to think about actually events.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what I would really need to think about that. Like actual moments where you do the kind of like, you know, Christmas past, future, present, where it's like, take them to the window and they can see in and
right.
Whatever's happening, you know?
It's such a great question.
Yeah.
So
this is a good one too. So Seth Horton says, going to be a first-time dad in January. Holy moly, I have no clue what to expect. What did you guys do to prepare to be awesome dads? I just don't, yeah. I mean, I'm going to say the dumbest, but I think truest thing you can't. You can't. I just think it's...
That is the answer. Yeah. There might be more to that answer, but you got to start with saying there isn't anything you can do to prepare for it, which is a really great thing because you don't know who this baby is. You don't know what they're going to be like. You don't know... There's just so much unknown. And this sounds cheesy, but you just gotta just like relax.
Shake it out. That's exactly
shake it
right.
out and just embrace the unknown. Which I, the only advice that I gave to a friend of mine Seth was in your shoes years ago. He was about to become a dad, and I told him, and I think Luca was maybe a couple years old at this time. And I told him, I was like, half jokingly, half serious, I was like, look, only advice I can give you is, whatever plans you have once you become a dad, be it I'm going to go to work today, be it I'm going to take a shower today, be it I'm not going to cry today. Have those plans. It's good. But they might happen. They might not.
Yep.
Don't just hold loose to any plans. I'm going to go on vacation with my wife. Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
Amy and I had a vacation planned last year. We were so looking forward to it, and we ended up not going because, you know, one of the girls had a fever the day before. It's whatever. We just didn't go.
Yeah.
So you're going to be miserable if you try to bring in the like 1-to-1 ratio that you had in your pre-dad life where it's like, I make a plan, I execute the plan. Maybe. Maybe not.
Yeah,
that's the only advice I can give.
I would agree. I think my version of that would be, especially with your spouse, have a lot of grace for the fact that you can't control everything that's about to happen. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, just really, as best as you can, try to communicate and be on the same page with like any expectation. Exactly what John said. Any expectations that you have are probably going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, so it's flex,
it's movable, it's fluid, you're thinking on your feet, you can change how you do something.
Yeah.
Literally seconds after you've just done it. Like if you go, oh, that's not working for us, change it. Baby doesn't like that, change it. I think you have to be careful. It's really, especially with your first kid, like you're saying, Seth, like, you know, just to kind of go, hey, we've read a million books, or we haven't, we've watched videos, we talked to all these parents. That's all great. But, you know, I think you got to be okay with not knowing what you're doing. And it's a season. It really, I mean.
Yeah, everything, you will feel like, you know, if you have a colicky baby or whatever, you'll feel like,
God, like I felt you.
Night one, the Lord had literally abandoned us.
Yes.
You know, when it comes to your marriage side of that, like I have a lot of thoughts on that. Like the dad side of things, I'm like, who knows? You know, you can't really prepare. But on like your spouse side of things, I would say, man, I don't think I had an idea of how hard it would be on Amy to have kids. Like everybody knows childbearing hurts. And then I think like baby's out, now we're good. It's like, I had no idea how hard breastfeeding was. No idea how hard, like breastfeeding was harder than childbirth.
Yeah.
She would say that. Just stuff like that. So I would say just, you know, realize like you're not in the driver's seat for a while.
And you know what? And okay, last thing for real that you just made me think of, John, because that says true, is your wife is about to change drastically, drastically, forever.
Yeah.
And it's mostly amazing. It's mostly like she turns into this just super thing. This like,
which I totally agree without an ounce of hyperbole or anything like that. It's like a miraculous,
it really is.
Amazing
thing. You watch them turn into this thing God sort of gave them this capability to be. I think with that comes some really tricky things too, because it's not just the two of you, you know?
Right.
And now she's thinking globally. She's thinking very macro. She's thinking familially. And you will, but not like she does for the most part. And so I think there is some wisdom on kind of being, of knowing that she's just forever going to be, you're forever different, but she's really going to be forever different. And I think I've gotten into trouble in my marriage when I haven't realized that Annie's not that Annie anymore, you know, because yes, that happens to us on an emotional level. It doesn't happen on a physical level. It doesn't.
Yeah.
They've just experienced something that's mild, that's wonderfully divine and profound, that it's tough. And so I do think that is the other thing, is like, watch that space of going, well, why don't you feel like this anymore? Well, this wasn't a problem before or whatever, because it's like, it's a new rule book.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah,
it's all new stuff.
Discussing the idea of where dads learn how to be dads and continuously work on being the best they can be, like, one, from your own dad, two, from friends or acquaintances that are fellow dads, three, books, podcasts, blog. There's a great podcast on dadding.
What is it called?
Dadville, I think it is. Is that how you pronounce it?
It's so good.
It's
handsome.
Really great. It's kind of taken off. Four, mentors, five, your own intuition.
I like it's not taken off. It's kind of taken
it's
off.
It's kind of taken off.
It's a gentle take off. So where do dads learn how to be dads with all that stuff?
Well, I think it's maybe something like guys aren't good at talking about stuff in general, like real things. Like I'll get together with some guy friends, you know, at night and we'll hang for a couple hours. And the next morning, inevitably, Amy will be like, oh my gosh, so how is, you know, Luke's fiance doing with the wedding? And I'll be like, oh man, yeah, they did get engaged. And she's like, what did you guys talk about?
You're like, is Philip Rivers really going to be the backup? The quarterback to the Colts need this year?
Yes.
What do you mean? What?
Why don't you ask about that, Amy?
I got a million thoughts on that.
But I think that's getting better. You know what I mean? I think guys are talking about this kind of stuff a little bit more. So, is that my answer?
I thought that was good. Okay. I was curious where it was going.
That's my answer.
No, I think there is something to your point. Like as you get together with dudes, having a place you can talk about that stuff and learn.
Yeah.
You know, the question being like discussing the idea of where dads learn how to be dads. I do think to your point, like, you know, being vulnerable enough to Because that's a huge part. You just don't know you're crazy. Like, right. Everybody's crazy.
Right.
Kids are crazy.
Yeah.
Like, so just to sit down and be like, I got really mad at my kid last night. And I had to apologize.
And I am so grateful that we have that relationship, that I've got that with some other friends of mine. But it's not necessarily something that comes, you know, again, guys just aren't great at doing that. Guys aren't great at being vulnerable with other guys.
Yeah.
But I think we all need that and we all want that. And a lot of us consciously are aware that we need it and want it. And so it's just sometimes you're in, as guys, you're in circles where it's like, well, I'm not going to be the first one to throw that out. But once you do, you know, everyone's like, yeah, that means a lot that you said that. Here's my story.
Yeah.
It's like, you guys just need community. Guys aren't great at fostering that. And it's really helpful, especially when you become a dad and you need it more than ever.
I think maybe this would be sort of my grandiose answer. I think there's a little bit of a priority list that I would say, and this is going to sound cheesy, but I mean it, your own spirituality, like time, you know, as a Christian man, you know, I would say time reading the Bible, time praying. And then, you know, after that, so because I think for all the learning and reading we do, none of it works if you're not in the right spot. If you're not, you're going to do a lot better job having read nothing and having spent time with God and centered and meditative and prayed up and in cahoots with God. You're going to do everything better. You're just going to do everything better. You're going to be more patient. You're going to be more intentional, all those things. Much more than sitting down and reading 100 books and not doing that, in my opinion. So I think that's paramount. But I do think there are books and I think the thing that's tricky, though, and I mean, this is what we try to have to, you know, I feel like we have to navigate even with this podcast, is like this idea that there's this, you can get the information and do the job if you just get the right information.
Yeah.
And I think to your answer earlier, like, you know, as you think about going into having your first kid, it's like, it's all malleable and ever changing.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's going to be a great podcast, this one. And then, you know, there'll be a book that has some great thoughts. You'll hear a talk or a TED talk, or you'll meet with some dads. I just think a lot of it is just a weird amalgam of things, you know, and experience. Lord knows experience. I mean, your own experience with your dad and how that worked and didn't work and what you want to change. And then I think finally, a lot of it is your kids. Like what does each kid, again, you know, Stephen's point, like what does each kid need? This one doesn't like when I give physical affection like number one did.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yep. So then I can't just have a, and I think that's the thing that is helpful about paying attention to your kids in a sense of intentionality, is you can't just, this is how I love you, deal with it. I mean, you know, you want to be careful to sort of go like, man, he really doesn't like physical affection, but he loves when we sit and talk, or he likes to go be active together. Okay, that's a way I can give it. So, you know, I think that, you know, just kind of paying attention to those kind of things is really helpful, and responding in some ways to your kids and what they seem to, you know, the sort of frequencies that they resonate at or whatever.
It's really just about being. I mean, you can really get the information overload and start to double over on yourself and just...
Yeah, it's a lot.
You can get... And I'm not saying don't read up on how to be a dad or how to parent. There's great stuff out there.
Right.
But what your kids need... Well, A, I'll start with this. You are your kid's parent. There is no one... This is what Stephen James was saying. There is no one who is going to be a better parent on the face of the planet for your kid than you.
You are, yeah.
Like, so give yourself that. And the next step, just be with your kid. And there's other stuff that you can do on top of that, but that's just icing on the cake. They just want to be with you.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. That's good. Jordan Lynn, marriage advice prior to kiddos. I would circle back on what I actually already said. I think there is wisdom to kind of like, things are about to change in pretty seismic ways. And, you know, that's going to be really great, but also buckle up.
I was chatting with Amy just like an hour ago before we came out here, and she mentioned, she was like, the advice that she would give other couples is, you got to make sure you do what you need to do. Like, she lets me go play tennis every day. I let her, you know, like, go on a run or go on a walk, or like, you got to give each other that time. And not feel guilty about it. Like, this is helping everybody. You got to take time to be a couple, you know.
One thing that really helped me early on in our marriage was Andy and I were actually seeing Stephen as a counselor, mm-hmm. which was, as you can imagine, really helpful. But one of the things that he really helped me understand that I had a really, this was just probably particular to my personality, but it may resonate with some people listening. I really felt like marriage was supposed to be this hyper shared experience. Like everything was together all the time. Now that we're married, all of life experience is now filtered through both of us, you know? Mm-hmm. And Stephen really had to say, like, Dave, to exactly your point, what you just said, like, you are two people that are married, but you're, and yes, biblically you're seen as one.
Yeah.
But you're still two people.
Yeah.
Like you need to sort of make sure that there's space for that in your marriage. In a lot of ways, one for recreation and fun and ways you each get joy just from life that aren't both of you, you know, like to your point about tennis and Amy running. But also, and I would say that was just as profound to me, life experience. So like how you process life, you may need space to go do that. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to sit there and be with you as we do that. Like you're going to have experiences that I'm not a part of, and that's okay. I'm here to be with you through them and process, you know. But I think that was really hard for me early on in marriage. Yeah. Like feeling like, well, everything, well, if there's a problem, you got a problem, I got to solve it with you. And
yeah,
and I think it was really paramount, the like how helpful he was on going like, she's going to have problems she needs to figure out on her own.
Yeah.
And you will too. That helped me immensely, you know, to realize like, yes, we're married, but we're also two people. We're still two people.
Right.
You know, and I want to respect that and give her space for that and honor that for as much as we're together also. But, you know, there's going to be times she's like, yeah, I just want to go be myself, or I need to figure this out. And it's like, uh-huh. great, I'm here if you need me, you know, yeah. which I think can be hard. It's hard for me sometimes to feel like, no, we're married. Like good
yeah,
couples.
It doesn't
good
mean
couples.
That you're not doing it right.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Adams Walton. Or that could be Adam S. Walton. Or Adam Swalton.
Adam Swalton.
Man, he's so Swalton.
If his name is plural, though, his first name, that's a huge
Adams.
One. Adams.
Adams' question is, biggest dad fails, grossest dad stories, best/worst dad hacks. I'm really interested in the dad fails.
I do.
Everybody
feel
wants to know
I feel like we've somewhere in our conversations on this podcast mentioned this, but it really still, when we were here that day and we were supposed to be watching the kids, you and I, and deep in conversation, and yeah. Annie walked around the corner with the kids and was like, hey, they were just three houses down and they told us that, and it was like, they were just here.
Yeah.
And they, that feeling.
Oh, it's such a great feeling. It's so great when it happens, when I've had the privilege of being present for someone else's dad fail. That's the best. When you can just enjoy it in the moment and you don't have to feel shame.
Well, I just
over
remember,
it.
Yes, yeah, you're like, this is all your shame. I get to.
Which that the, your story was shared shame because I think that it was all the kids.
Well, but I just remember like pretty early on, y'all living across the street, Annie and I had to have a come to Jesus. So I'm like, she's like, look, I love when we all get together and I love when you and John hang out. You know, that said, you don't really pay attention. And I was like, don't pay attention to what? She's like, literally the kids. I really mean, you just don't pay attention to the kids. And so I think like that was a massive fail. And I was so hurt. I was like, and she's like, do we need to talk about what happened the other?
Well, it hurts so bad because you know she's right.
Oh, she is hitting the bullseye.
Yeah. And I take pride in really being a present dad. I want to be a good dad. And Amy has told me the same. Like at the park, she's like, I just had to come to the point where I can say out loud, I'm not good at watching both girls at the park. I'm barely good at watching one girl. I can't, if I take the girls to the park by myself. It's different now because they're older and they're fine. But man, it was dicey in the beginning. I didn't know where my kids were most of the time.
If you want me to immediately sweat,
yeah,
I mean like on demand, take me down to Sevier Park here in Nashville near 12th South where we live, and have me watch all three of our kids, and have anybody try to talk to me.
That's the thing. If I'm by myself,
heads on a swivel.
It's fine.
Heads on a swivel.
It's fine. But if I'm trying to have a conversation, it just can't.
Oh,
happen.
My God, stresses me out. I'll tell you a hack, a dad hack that was huge for me. Annie was gone for a few days, And a buddy of mine was like, make a schedule for the kids. This was the summer. And he was like, make a schedule for the kids. Now, granted, only my, you know, only Ben can read because Xana's getting close, even 15, but she'll get there.
She's going to get there.
Thank you for that.
Once she quits smoking, I think she can focus.
That's the thing. Yeah.
And
Juvie really set us back just her, anyway. Her,
financially.
Well, that's very much true. Sneaking stuff in and cupcakes. But, but you know, with her being in kindergarten, she's getting there. But because Ben would kind of like, he would be like the town crier. He'd be like, okay, guys, we're doing, okay, remember we got this. And it just for that was really helpful to me. And yeah. I think when she's gone again for like more than a day or two, especially in the summer, you know, or something where you're kind of going, what are we going to do every day? That was a huge hack mm-hmm. for me. And the kids loved it. It was like, they just fell right in step. They were like, okay, 10 o'clock snack, 11. We get to watch TV for 30 minutes. You know, that kind of thing.
I don't know if I have any dad hacks. I can't think of.
Yeah, I'm sort of blanking.
I mean, grossest dad stories. I don't even know if I want to.
Yeah.
We're back to the park. So this is maybe a dad fail. So this was back when I think Livy was just a newborn and I was at the park alone with Luca. There's tons of people there. We're hanging. She goes down the slide and what comes with her is like this pool of liquid. Just rushing down the slide. I mean, so much of it, so much pee. And I, without even thinking, I think because there were a lot of people at the park. So I rip my shirt off and just sop up all the pee.
Oh, John.
Because there's another, it's not like we're there by ourselves. Not saying that I would leave it, but it's like the slide is covered in pee right now.
Yeah.
So, and there's kids getting ready to come down. So I just sop up all the pee, pick Luca up, and just walk home. But I have to walk through most of the park.
With your shirt off.
With my shirt off.
John.
Holding a sopping,
wet
urine-filled shirt. And yeah, that was not my best dad moment.
Which, like, you know, there were some women, and they were like, hello, dad. Good. Was there really pee on there, John?
Oh, the old kid peed on the slide thing.
Oh, that old nugget.
What'd you just work out to?
Okay, you know what? Let's round out this first Q&A episode with this last question. How do you feel about that?
Feel great.
From Brihuana.
Brihuana,
dance with somebody.
I would love to hear from all these people and how bad we butchered their names.
Oh, she's like, it's
she's
Brie.
Like, it's actually Ashley. It's pronounced
well,
Ashley.
Well, you chose the tag, Brihuana. It finds me. Is that Brihuana? Mohana?
That's Mohana's trainer, Brihuana.
Mohana's trainer. She was kind of jacked. Dude, he was really jacked.
He was.
Okay, so Brihuana says a few things, and then we'll close the thing out. How did you deal with the transitional stages with your dad from dad to friend? That's a good question.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a little fumbling, you know? It is tricky. I remember my aunt, when Annie and I were dating, I would stay with my aunt and uncle who lived in Jackson, Mississippi, and she was leaving one morning to go to this conference on maybe even James Dobson or something. I was doing a thing on like how to transition from parent to like peer.
Uh-huh.
And we had I remember that conversation so well with my Aunt Sally, and it was really profound to me, like, because I just hadn't thought about that. You know, I was still in my early 20s or mid 20s. And now it is, I mean, I can't imagine what that's going to be like for us, because I feel like talking to my parents or people their age, it's not easy. Like, there's a lot of discipline that comes with their role. I mean, yes, on us a little bit, but
yeah,
I think
it would be trickier on their end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how to not over involve or space, but not too much space. Or why don't y'all come around more? Like, oh, shoot, we gave too much space. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, or impose what you think about everything.
Right.
You know?
And where that line is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think that would be a lot harder. So I think just grace and patience, right?
Well, I think what I would say about my dad and my relationship is, as guys are very good at doing, we focus on what, like, common ground and stuff like that, which we have a great relationship and lots of common ground. So it's not like we're doing this because we're grasping at, you know, straws or anything like that. But like, I started, you know, when I left the house, I went to college, and then I quickly started traveling a lot. So I was like up in the middle of the night, up early in the mornings, you know, like going to radio things and all that kind of stuff. And one thing about my dad is he's up all the time. He's not a great sleeper. He, you know, when he's working, he's flying early in the morning or all that kind of stuff. So I one thing I have with my dad is I can kind of always call him.
Oh, wow.
If I'm up at 2 a.m, I might call him because he might be up.
Wow. You know?
So we kind of started my adult life kind of in this great rhythm of like, we talk on the phone, you know, a decent amount kind of a thing. And then you get into, he's a musician as well. So we always had that connection. Like I can always talk to him about music and he connects with what I do for a living on a pretty deep level, you know? And then you become a homeowner maybe, or a dad. And then there's just, he's an endless wealth of knowledge. I always have a reason to call my dad because there's always something that I need help with, you know? And I think he likes that dynamic. I think he, you know, maybe there's a part of him that's like, I tried to teach you all
this
stuff.
Do you remember when I told you?
Don't you?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to be calling me.
Yeah.
It's lefty loosey, righty tighty. But I'm inept in that category, and so and I love it because I'm always going to need my dad.
You nailed it. I think that is the thing that has been so fun for me and my dad is that you have a new color wheel of relation points, like
yeah.
places to relate. Like all of a sudden, you know, because as a dad and a kid, you love them, and they're young, and then even high school, you know, you're trying to find these common places, and then you get to an age where you get married and especially and you have kids, all of a sudden there are a million things to talk about. Like even for advice or, you know, just relating. Just like, yeah. You know, you were kind of like, oh, really? Yeah. Like, or what, how did you do with money stuff? Or
there's so much.
So I think that's been one of my favorite things about my relationship with my dad is it just feels like there's kind of inexhaustible things that we could talk about. Then very naturally that wasn't the case for a long time. You know what I mean? Like,
You go through a season when you're growing up, like high school, college, I'm only speaking for myself. And again, I have had a great relationship with both of my parents the whole time. But you just go through this long phase where I'm only thinking about me.
Oh, yeah.
I'm grateful to my parents for weathering through that. And now we're on the other side and you know, I have such respect and love them like crazy. And, you know, but you can kind of squash that relationship as the parent. You can squash that relationship by just, you know, being needy and it's a tough transition. I'm so grateful that we have got through that. Now we're on the other side and I respect my dad and love him enough to call and ask for help. And he loves that relationship. So
that is one of the things that I think is the most profound about the change in a relationship with your parent is the empathy that you have. Cause I think you start having kids and you get married and all of a sudden you're like, man, this is way harder than I thought it was. It's so much more confusing. And you really do. I mean, Annie and I have talked about that. I feel like we've talked about that. You and Amy, you just really go like, man, that this is hard. And boy, do I not feel as strong about things that frustrated me about them.
Yeah.
I mean, and
you see
I know that's
how much they gave you and how much they sacrificed.
And too, you know, one of the most profound conversations I've ever had in my life was with, you know, Mike and my best bud I was talking about early walking with, and this was when we were in our early 20s, but just kind of realizing like your parents for the most part did the best they could. Now that is grandly affected by what they were shown.
Right.
You know what I mean? And
yeah,
that scale, it's all connected. So it's a moving scale for every different parent because some had amazing childhoods, some had nightmare childhoods. But I think it's safe to say most of them were truly trying to do the best they could.
Yeah.
Some of them had terrible information to work on. Some of them had amazing. But I think that's sort of this overarching theme for me and a lot of my friends with you. I know, like, you know, when I think about my parents, for times it's been hard, wonderful, whatever. I'm like, man, I'm just trying to do what I can. They were just trying to do what they can. There's just so much more grace. There's a lot more empathy. It's a lot more like, man, okay, I'm not quite as mad about some of those things as I used to be because, gosh, this is just hard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think that's one of my favorite things that's changed as I've gotten older is there's just another, there's so much more appreciation.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And going like, boy, I'm not quite as judicious as I was right. with my thoughts.
Man, I loved this.
I know. Wasn't
this
it great?
This was great. Great questions
yeah.
for everybody.
Thank y'all for sending those in. I want to keep doing these Q&A episodes. They're really fun and great proof at how little I actually know about anything.